Welcome to the Jody Seeley Show podcast. We are in the middle of a cool series right now called Amazing Albertans. And when I was brainstorming the list of people I wanted to connect with during this series, our next guest was undoubtedly at the top of my list. Let me introduce you to a former Canadian Agri-Marketer of the Year, the Director of Community Initiatives with ATB Financial, a dad, a husband, and an all-around freaking good guy, Terry Adreo. Thank you for being on the show.
Thanks for having me, Jody. And just to full visibility, as a father of four.
Yeah, that's big.
It is. And everybody asked me, are you a blended marriage? And I went, no. Marie and I have been married for 31 years, and they're all mine.
They're all yours. Well, and good on you. Four is a lot.
It is.
But they're all grown up now, right?
Yeah, the youngest one just graduated from college in January. We didn't go through any ceremony, but they're all, Zach is the youngest at 22, and they're all 2 years apart. So 22, okay. 24, 26, 28.
Any grandkids yet?
Not yet. Are married. The two eldest are daughters, Natalia and Arisha, and both are married, but no grandchildren. And Marie and I are okay with that, because we're at a good stage in life where nothing's holding us back from traveling except COVID.
Good old COVID. And how have you been? I feel like we haven't got to connect in ages. So I really appreciate you joining us on the show today.
Thank you. You know, everything's fine in our household with one daughter working in, she's an ER nurse at PLC and in Okotoks. And and Maria is involved in the medical profession as well. They're, ears to the ground and really connected to what's going on with COVID, keeping us on the straight and narrow. But everybody's healthy and everybody's doing well. My question is, how are you doing, Jody?
Oh, hanging in there. I think we have known each other for a few years now because we've met being very avid community advocates. And so I think you probably feel the same way as I do in that not being able to be out in the community in the same capacity was an interesting challenge, but it also was kind of nice to slow down for a little bit.
Yeah, it was. It's at the point of getting a little bit of stir crazy because there's people that you normally see, like yourself or Mike, or Brett Gardner or people like that, it's few and far between now, but you learn to adjust. And I've had one conversation with a gentleman as early as this morning around it's given them time to reflect and spend time with their family, which they normally didn't have, and you look at the positives that have come out of COVID and people are baking again. I talked to our good friend Tony Marshall from Highwood Crossing, and he can't keep up with inventory. So there has been a certain amount of return to the roots, and it's certainly a big part in our household. Maria has been canning and preserving like crazy, and our house smells like sauerkraut because we're going to be canning sauerkraut this Sunday. So there's certainly some positives that have come out from COVID, like exploring your own backyard and cooking and just spending time with family. So we're lucky. Yeah. We're in the
well. Place. I don't know about you, but I think I've had enough carbs and I'd like to see some other people.
Yeah, wouldn't we all? Wouldn't we all?
It's good. Now, I was thinking in preparing to have a conversation with you today, I kind of came up with the phrase that I think if we cut you, you would bleed Alberta. What do you think about that?
I'd say thank you. I think you're right. It's certainly being connected to the people that I'm fortunate enough to work with, who all carry the same premise that we live in a damn good province. And, Marie and I moved here 13 years ago from Manitoba. And the one thing that we keep in mind and we keep telling people from Alberta is, I don't think we know how good we have it compared to other provinces that don't have it. And, we moved from a province that's very buoyant, very traditional, to a province that is very progressive, living in a city that has got a lot of infrastructure and things. I think there's a lot of people in Alberta that don't realize how really good we have it and still continue to have it, even given the situation with the energy sector being off. There's a lot of buoyancy in agriculture. So, yes, I am a very proud Albertan, Jody.
Well, and I think it's interesting because when I thought about doing a series where I was going to focus on Alberta people who were making a difference and being, you know, advocates of change in our province, I thought it might be an interesting show because Albertans are a unique group of people. They have pride on a totally different level. We're an eclectic group of people. Not everybody from Alberta is necessarily a born and raised Albertan. So yeah. I thought it might turn into an interesting conversation.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, you touched on a point. We got together a group of about 15 of us about a week and a half ago and shared a beer over Pride of Place and doing something about a Pride of Place, because I formerly sat on a board for the Alberta Culinary Tourism Alliance. And about 4 years ago, we got invited out to Comox, BC for a shellfish and wine event. And my first thought, even before I go, and I didn't end up going, but even before I was going, I'm going, why can't Alberta do the same thing? You know, if BC can tout, and they truly can tout an event around seafood and wine, why can't Alberta do something around beef, barley, and what goes into barrels and really make it exciting? So we discussed this as a small committee about 10 days ago about bringing back Pride of Place to Alberta, and it's necessitated right now.
Well, I know that hanging out with you and being in your circle, there's always good food involved. So I've been to several events where we've eaten very, very well. So I'm going to keep you in my circle, I think.
Thank you. And I'd honor that. We should be proud of what we produce here in Alberta and wear it on our sleeves very proudly. Because, you know, I deal with a lot of farmers and a lot of people in rural Alberta and agriculture. But I don't think there's still a lot of people that understand that people globally come to Alberta to buy our raw goods and our finished product because it's superior to anywhere else. And we don't talk about that a lot, and we should. We really should.
I 100% agree. And I think that's one of the things I've always admired about, I mean, not only your role in what you do with the, you know, the 9 to 5, although you never work those hours, paid job of what you do with ATB, but just the fact that you really care and promote and advocate for our farmers and our ranchers and that rural lifestyle, which I think sometimes gets shuffled in the mix a little bit.
Yeah, and, you know, there's a lot of people who do it besides me and do a great job, and I can think of, you know, a guy like John Kowalczyk, who's a farmer up near Trochu. John is a huge advocate for agriculture and actually putting faces to agriculture and what I'd call humanizing it. So if you don't follow John Kowalczyk on Twitter,
oh, I
follow
do.
Him.
Yeah. He's fantastic.
He's fantastic. And, you know, John and I had a conversation. It goes back probably 6 or 7 months ago, maybe a little bit longer, but we ran this event in Olds about 3 or 4 years ago called A Seat at Our Table, which evolved into Meet in the Middle. And John was one of our guests. And John says it was the best event that he could have attended. And I said, why, John? He says, because I sat by people who are consumers that never would have met me otherwise. I walked out of that room with about 100 followers on Twitter and about 50 engaged with them, and about 20 actually came out to the farm. And to me, that's gold. That's exactly what we wanted them to do, is have consumers ask farmers questions rather than state opinions that they didn't know about, but also get out to the farm and engage with the farming. And he says, you know, there's probably a half a dozen that still engage with him that come out and just shoot guns and ride motorcycles. But those are big strides that, you know, getting the people from urban centers out to rural Alberta and seeing the landscape, understanding what they go through, you know, the turmoil, the costs, the weather, everything that we deal with in agriculture and farming, to see it in person, because then you really get exposed to stuff like that. And Scott Schiffner is the same on the beef side. You know, we'll go to brandings at Scott out in Strathmore because it's a community event. So everybody from the community shows up. But we've traditionally brought, you know, new people out to the brandings each year just to give them exposure to the why and to the who. So, you know, there are a lot of people running around this province advocating and including yourself.
Well, thank you. I feel honored to be included in that circle because you, what I love about you, Terry, is that you, when you decide to connect with people or partner with people or in your line of work, you know, the opportunity to provide sponsorship around rodeo athletes or something is you dig a little deeper and you try to partner with people who, what I would call, have social impact. Is that something that's really important to you?
Yeah, it is. And you know what? I think two things, social impact and the values. You know, I think when I look at the list of friends that I hang out with on a regular basis, there's an alignment of values that certain prescribe to and make it easy to, you know, turn business relationships into friendships. And I think, you know, it takes two to tango. So people have to be receptive to stuff like that. But yes, you know, it's about social impact. Absolutely. And it's about, you know, pride of place, caring for Alberta. I don't want to hang out with people that don't care about where they live. You know, I think it's really important for us and our values to align with being proud of what it is and just not complaining. I think I've seen so much negative conversations, or not even conversations, opinions on social media that's just driving me bonkers right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I hear you. Well, I was going to say that in the whole joke that I made earlier about if we cut you, you'd bleed Alberta. If it wasn't Alberta that would come out, I think the other thing would probably be craft beer. What do you think about that?
Yeah.
Honestly.
You're accurate. You're accurate. And today I talked to one of, I have a one-on-one meeting with one of my employees and one of the persons on my team. And she says, I have a personal question to ask you, Terry. And I went, what's that? And she says, I've got a friend who is now celiac, and if anybody knows a celiac beer or a gluten-free beer, it would be you. So I've got this stigma that's hanging around, and it's not a bad stigma, okay? I'm not disappointed in having this stigma, but certainly when it comes to craft beers or distilled products or beverages or even just the local food element, I don't mind having that hanging around my collar at all, so, you know, it comes up every time I get asked.
Where did that come from? Yeah.
You know what? It came from 100% from my grandmother. I come from a Ukrainian family, so it's my Baba on my dad's side of the family. You know, we basically lived in an agrarian society. We lived on a farm, but everything that we farm and raise, we ate. So when you went to my Baba's place, you got chicken soup with feet in it. So everything got from the chicken was put in that pot, and everything that got put on your plate, you ate, you know. So her love of food, her love of entertaining people, she always, every time we celebrated, whether it's Thanksgiving, Easter, or Christmas, she always purposely set an extra seat at the table. So if there was 14 of us, there was 15 settings, just in case company came over, you know. So that's the type of lifestyle that we were brought up with. So the love of food, the love of local beverages and supporting people and supporting the community and feeding everybody really came from my grandma, really came from my baba. So.
And what about the energy? Because if anybody follows you, because you've sort of, you know, I guess evolved into an influencer on social media with your Instagram and the things that you do and all the events you go to. But watching you, like, I know what that feels like because people say it to me all the time, but where does your energy come from? Because I don't think you sleep either.
Well, that's a huge compliment. I do sleep. but it's like anything. I am an entrepreneur. My dad had about 9 companies. So you really get involved with and really get passionate about the things that you love. And it you know, whoever said it, I don't know who said it. If you find what you love, it's not a job. You know, it's just part of what you do. And I think that's where my energy comes from, is being raised in a family that owned multiple companies, still raised livestock, still were involved in doing things and having gardens. Like growing up, we had a garden that was about an acre big. So you just really got energy from internally, and you saw it around you. You saw it with your parents, saw it with your grandparents, you saw it with your family. You could talk to any of our kids. You know, they were brought up in the same way, and they're as active as we are. So I think it's genetics. It's just genetics and values, Jody.
But if we could bottle up passion, we could make like millions. Wouldn't it be amazing?
It would be fantastic. I'm just worried about what it would smell like.
Plug and drink if you have to, because it would be great. But that's my wish, I think, much like you, for anybody in this world to find that passion and find that energy would be really cool.
Yeah, and, you know, certainly that's what we talk to our kids about, you know, and their spouses and their relationships that they have is, you know, do what you love to do. You know, don't follow the money, because the money is just, it's there, it'll come. But if you do what you want to do, it'll be evident on how you wear it, how do you go to market, and how you just proceed. And I think the kids are following in the same suit as what Marie and I have invested into them is, you know, it's really about doing exactly what you love. If you don't do what you love, change gears.
Yeah. Preach it. I love it.
Yeah.
Now, you've been very, I guess, vocal and public and sharing in your journey with Parkinson's, Terry, and you always have a graceful way of reminding people to connect to people who are going through different things. How has the journey been for you with this diagnosis?
It's evolving, certainly. It's now 5 years, and thank you for asking, because I am very public of it. You know, I've got a great support system around me from everybody from, you know, the home life to the business life, and support people beyond that. Like, one of my best friends is Jim Button, who everybody knows. Jim is the founder of Village Brewery. We walk once a week, you know, and we talk about everything from family to business. So I've got this incredible support group around me that keeps me going and keeps me energized. So things are certainly evolving for me. I've got a great team in the medical world that you know, I consult with and I talk to. But I think, you know, what I've found is there's a couple of things that keep people positive. And Jim's a living example of it. He was diagnosed over 5 or 6 years ago with pancreatic cancer. And with that came a short timeline. But with the positive energy and the things that he brought to the table, that he has taught me and has incorporated me, like still feeling that you're necessitated, feeling wanted, feeling like you have purpose, getting out and exercising and being visible instead of hiding behind anything, helps circumvent the progress of stuff like this. So, you know, I'm one of many thousands of people who have a degenerative disease. And, you know, I think it's the positive attitude that you bring to it that helps slow it down, Jody, you know, and I'm proud of that. And I'm proud of the people that surround me with it.
Yeah, I love it. I'm proud of that for you too. To me, it's another one of your personality traits as opposed to anything else. And that's kind of how it's just felt from when I knew that of you to now. So you manage it beautifully. And I mean, I'm sure there's always dark days behind closed doors, but I love how you encourage others. And so I'm just proud of you.
Thank you. And you know, it's part of what you're even doing today with me is just making me part of the community. And that's the whole mental game that a lot of people don't overcome, is feeling like they can still contribute and they can still be part of something. And so I thank you for asking me those questions and not being shy of it. And again, I think those are things that you want to broadcast to others who are potentially going through the same situation.
Well, you never know. And someone could, you know, whether they don't have it today, someone in your circle could have it tomorrow. And so being able to talk about things and open up conversation about it is what's going to help people continue to evolve. So we have to do that.
Exactly. And I've got a few friends who are in the same boat as me who have not gone public with it. And, you know, in fear of losing their job and fear of losing relationships. And I respect that 100%. But I think they realize it's going to catch up to them eventually. Like, you can't completely hide some of the things that a disease can bring to you. You know, you can only hide it for so long, but I certainly respect it. I don't disclose who those people are, but they've through things like what you're doing with me today and being public about it, they've reached out to me for the same reason. Exactly. Yeah.
Now, would Terry 5 years ago before the diagnosis be a lot different than the Terry we're talking to today? Has that changed much for you?
Just in a few areas. So the answer overall is no, but certain limitations. I have dystonia in one of my hands, so it limits me to what I can do with my whole body and some of the things like my rhythm, my coordination. I played a lot of hockey and a lot of sports. I can't do some of those things anymore just because I look like Bambi on ice now.
Well, that could be age a little bit too, don't you think?
Absolutely. So there's some limitations. Like my wife, Maria, used to be a competitive trap shooter. And so we didn't go hunting a lot together. But a couple of years ago, we went for pheasants down in Tabor. And she outshot me. There's certain things like giving a gun to a guy with Parkinson's. Just because of the tremor. You know,
just got to add a little extra adventure into your life. Yeah.
Yeah. So when I go to the gun range, you know, the 360 clears out completely. So you don't want to see me at the guns with a shotgun in my hand.
No, that's maybe. I'd rather, let's stick to drinking and eating. It's just sounds better
exactly.
Anyway.
Yeah, and that certainly hasn't slowed me down.
Well, that's good. And I think, too, just in sharing a story that we have together, I mean, obviously we've been to lots of events and different ways of promoting our awesome province, but I think I was secured in being in love with you forever the day you allowed me to borrow a table that you crafted the shape of Alberta. That was my joy, being the steward of that table for the time I got to have it in my life.
Yeah, that's a great piece that was done by a local artist. They did three different versions of it, and we'll continue to make those and have those. It is now residing in Millerville. So there's one in Penhold, there's one in Calgary, and there's one in Millerville that exists. All different ones, done for different seats at the table, but it has certainly become a focal point for stuff like this, conversations. The table's an important conduit for conversation, and we're very proud that you held on to it as long as you could, because there's people fighting over it right now.
Oh, I don't doubt it. I appreciate the time I got to have with it. It was a blessing. And one day, maybe I'll have one, maybe a little bit smaller version in my home is my goal. So,
yeah, no, those are certainly things, you know, as you know, the table is an important fixture in a farming household. You know, that's where a lot of businesses transactions are done, a lot of conversations, a lot of learning, a lot of relationship things and buildings, and it's a foundation. So it was an easy thing to structure when we created the program. So having the table as a destination and iconic of Alberta is really necessitated.
Yeah, well, we had some good conversations around it when it used to be in my former radio studio, so it was good. So thank you again for that opportunity. That was fun.
And we'll get it back to you, okay? Maybe it's going to be a new one.
It's got to circle around. Yeah.
Yeah.
I've got some ideas for it, so we'll keep in touch about that. But before I let you go, you sort of alluded to him a little bit earlier, but I was going to say our next show, our next Amazing Albertan is actually we're going to be sitting down with Mr. Jim Button. And I wondered if there was anything else. I mean, you said some really nice things, but is there anything like that you can let us in on before the next episode that I could surprise him with?
You know, Jim is just this God-sent individual. And, you know, Jim goes out his way. Him and I have a fantastic relationship, as do our wives. So we're really close, but I'm fortunate. I walk with him once a week. So we have a standing, you know, but it's become really interesting to try to find time with Jim, because there's 100 people a week that actually walk with Jim, you know, and it's really turned into a great thing. I can't speak more highly of an individual and what he's done for our community, for a society, you know, around the cancer and the issues that he's going through. So I don't think there's a surprise that I could share with you, with Jim, other than he's doing a great job. He just did a podcast with the Prostate Cancer Society of Alberta, and him and Tracy have a chair that they're formulating and raising funds for. So I may even see him tomorrow because we're launching the Village Gardener program. There's a brand new beer, speaking of craft beer.
Yeah, that's shocking that you'd be there. Yeah.
Brand new. I may even bring you a growler out tomorrow because it's made with strawberries, local strawberries.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah, and it's really good. So don't be surprised if I happen to drop by with a growler of the Village Gardener. And we were supposed to launch it yesterday, but because of the reduction in allowance for people, we had 30 people attending. We're now only allowed 15, so we just canceled it for everybody's safety. And, so normally I would have seen Jim tomorrow, but that's not going to happen just because it's going virtual.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Well, I'm going to ask him about you, so you make sure you give him a couple bucks. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. We've been guests together on 3 or 4 podcasts, a couple out of the U.S. and a couple across Canada. So we work well together. It's kind of like Laurel and Hardy. You don't have to guess who's who, you know.
Yeah. But, well, I do a virtual coffee club every day on video version online. And so maybe the two of you will have to be a fun Friday guest in the future in November. We'll get the two of you on at the same time and see if I can handle that. Yeah.
That's great. You know, and the fact that you actually secured time with Jim is fantastic because that probably means he's going to cancel our walk date.
Well, it's not till next week, so we'll see, but we'll go from there. I'll let you know.
Great. Love what you're doing. I love what you bring to the table. You know, and I want to make sure that I'm asking you about how your health is and everything like that before we go, because I think it's important, not just for you to ask your guests, but for your guests to ask you, Jody, that I hope things are going well in your life.
They are going fantastic. I have been blessed with the most interestingly entertaining 11-year-old boy. So my life is always good because my son keeps me on my toes.
That's great. And that's great that you have that type of relationship with him. It gets better. Trust me.
Yeah.
With 4 grown kids, life gets way better when you can relate to them as adults.
Yeah, I chickened out to keep going, unlike you, who's, you know, creating almost in the half a baseball team, but yeah. It's good. But I appreciate so much your time today, Terry. Thank you for connecting with us, having some great conversation, and thanks for all you do, not only just in Alberta, but in our world. We appreciate you so very much.
Thank you, Jody, and I feel the same way with you.
Thank you again for tuning in to the new series called Amazing Albertans on the Jody Steely Show podcast. Once again, a big thank you to the creator of the theme song for this show right now called We Are Alberta, Mr. Dustin Farr. Thank you, my friend. A huge shout out as well to our producers from Limelight Audio and Media for making this show possible.
We are